We've been going through Ephesians, and we are wrapping up chapter 2. What have we seen so far? We've had a really, I think, precious time the past few weeks in Ephesians chapter 2, and we've seen that Christ has brought those who were far away. Who were they? The Gentiles. They were far away from the people of God, away from where God meets with his people, away from the promises and covenants of God. They were so far away that there was no hope for them to come into the people of God. And the mark of that, the main mark of distinction between the people of God in Israel and the Gentiles who were not the people of God, you remember, was circumcision. And it was a continual marker, reminder that they were outside of the promises and covenants of God. But the blood of Christ did what? Brought them near. We saw then last week that Christ broke down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentiles by obliterating the distinguishing marks that were in the law between Jew and Gentiles. And Paul told us that Christ himself is our peace. He abolished those aspects of the law and he created one new man in himself, killing the hostility between Jew and Gentile on the cross. And in so doing, he also reconciled mankind to God. He preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. Today, Paul completes that thought in verse 18 by saying, "For through him," and who is him? Jesus, Christ, "through him we both," meaning Jew and Gentile, Paul and the Ephesians, but all people, "have access in one spirit to the Father." The wall has been broken down. It's been obliterated between Jew and Gentile. Two peoples are now united in one person, one new man in Christ. And through Christ, Jew and Gentile have admission. They have access. They have a platform upon which they can stand in the presence of the Father, God the Father, by the Spirit. We say this prayer every Sunday, some every day. Our Father. How tremendous is that? That we, not being part of the children of Israel, could call God our Father. We who were afar off, who stood outside of everything that belonged to God, we who were enemies of God, excluded, without hope of ever being included in his people, have been granted access through the Spirit by Christ to God the Father, and we can call him our own. You notice in this verse 18, through him, Christ, Jesus the Son, we have access in one spirit to the Father. You notice that Paul has outlined the Trinity here. The Trinity, he's trying to tell us, every person of the Holy Trinity is involved in your salvation and mine. From start to finish, every part of our redemption belongs to the Son on the cross, to the Father who sent and established, called us to himself, and by the Spirit of adoption who makes us children, sons and daughters of the Most High. So then Paul, in verse 19, gets to the upshot. What's the point of everything that he's been saying in all these verses? He says, "So then, this is the upshot. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." How beautiful is that? Remember that Paul had just said, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You are foreigners, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And now he says, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. The hostility between Jew and Gentile has been killed on the cross, put to death in Christ himself. The wall has been broken down to rubble, completely demolished. And the promise that the prophets had been giving through generation after generation, Gentiles would be included in the people of God. And even more, the wall between you, me, and God has been totally broken down, smashed to pieces, turned to ground zero in front of us, so that we have been reconciled to God. and reconciled to each other in one new man, Christ's body, the church. You are separated, alienated, strangers, without God in the world. And now, Paul says, no more. That's not the case any longer. Look at verse 19 again. Now, what's the case? You are fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens. Praise God. Excluded, included. Apart from the people of God, now the very people of God. Once the access, the only access that there could be was through Israel. Were you part of Israel? Was I part of Israel? No. But now we are fellow citizens. We have every right. You have, as a believer in Christ, every right and every privilege of God's people. You're not segregated and off to the side because you are a Gentile. You're not a second-class citizen bumped to the back of the bus. You are fully naturalized. Everything that belongs to any of God's people belongs to you and to me. You mean even though I don't keep kosher, even if I don't have circumcision or observe the ceremonies or wear the right clothes or clip my beard on the corner, X, Y, and Z, that I can be called the people of God? The ancient people of God without any distinction between me and them? That is what Paul's saying. What does inclusion into the household look like? Members, not only fellow citizens of all the saints who have come before us and who will come after us, but fellow members of the household of God. What does inclusion into that household look like? Does it look like being a 10th generation middle class American? Is the family of God those who hold to Judeo-Christian values in our society that we need to protect and uphold? Or is inclusion, is the family of God maybe also comprised of people who worship in secret over a scrap of scripture for fear of their death by the Taliban and ISIS in countries that we have no access to? Well, it's not inclusion into America. It's not inclusion into our society. Being in the household of God is being covered by the blood of Christ, having been brought near. The household of God. Paul envisions, he keeps pressing this image of household. A household needs a house. And so Paul envisions this structure that in his mind is being formed. And as he writes, we get to go on this journey with him of a vision that he has, of a structure that is rising from the rubble. You remember that the wall of separation that divided Jew from Gentile is now obliterated. And on that very ground, one nation has been made. And now on that ground zero, God is establishing a new superstructure where that middle wall of separation had been. And Paul says that it is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets, as you know, represent the New Testament and the Old Testament. They represent, you could say, the mission of God to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. The apostles were those who proclaimed what they saw with their very eyes, while the prophets were those who proclaimed what they saw by faith. Now come together in Christ, the person of Jesus himself. But this foundation that Paul is talking about isn't just the teaching of the apostles and prophets. He's talking about the people themselves, because the structure that he envisions is a structure made of people. And Christ himself is the cornerstone. That's that stone that is placed at the joint of a foundation to make sure that the two stones that meet stay in place, and so that straight lines come off from that, so that the foundation is stable and secure for a very long time. In this case, for eternity. The cornerstone is the most important piece of the foundation for the whole building. And Paul is saying that that is Jesus himself, who, you remember, isn't just his teaching or his example, but his person. Hasn't Paul been saying, in him we have life? In him. He has reconciled us in his flesh. And he joins apostles to prophets. He holds them together so that a superstructure of people can be built upon that foundation. He says in verse 21, in whom, there it is again, in Christ, the whole structure being joined together, what? Here's a verb that you might not expect from a building. From whom the whole structure being joined together grows. A building that grows. It's organic. It's living. What kind of superstructure grows? But Paul continues. It is Jew and Gentile upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ being the cornerstone, growing into a holy temple. A holy temple in the Lord. So that we are not just members of this household, but that we are becoming the true temple of God. You remember that God met with his people Israel in the tabernacle in the wilderness. He led them and he camped with them in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Then when the temple was built, there was the inner sanctuary, the holiest place where God in his Shekinah glory met between the cherubim. And we're told in John, the Gospel of John, that the Son of God, God the Son, took on skin and camped among us. That is, he tabernacled among us. He became the tabernacle, the place of the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth among men. And do you remember what happened when he died on the cross? The earth became dark and there were earthquakes. And the curtain of the temple was what? Torn in two from top to bottom. Signifying what? That we had access directly into the Holy of Holies where God himself dwells and meets with his people. And not just Jews, but Gentiles could trample through the parts of the temple precinct that they were never allowed to go through and meet with God himself through Christ. Direct access to God. And now, finally and fully, in the Son of God, Jew and Gentile, you and me are being built together into a new Holy of Holies, a place where God himself rests his presence and joins his people and says, I am their God and they are my people. Verse 22, Paul says, in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells believers individually, but he is also gathering us together from the four winds of the earth, from us here in America, to those who are huddled in Afghanistan and across every other nation of the world, bringing us together and building us on the ground zero of what he has demolished into his holy dwelling place. You see this again. In verse 18, we saw in him, Christ, we have access through one Spirit to the Father. And here we have the Trinity outlined again for us by Paul. In him, Jesus, the Son of God, you are being built together into a dwelling place for God, the Father, by the Spirit. Do you see it there? From beginning to end, the Trinity is involved in your redemption, bringing you to a place where he is installing you into a great edifice, a superstructure called his church. So that you not only have a platform where you can stand in awe of God the Father and have access to him in prayer, but where you are his temple, where he lives among you. And in you. So much for the church just being this physical building in this physical location. You as believers in Christ are part of that eternal church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. From the rubble of the Mosaic law and its marks of distinction between Jew and Gentile that were meant to make Israel holy and meant to make the nations jealous of what Israel had, that became markers of distinction and hatred from the rubble of all that that Christ demolished on the cross and from the rubble that he destroyed of sin, those grenades of hatred and hostility being lobbed between Jew and Gentile. He demolished all that from the rubble of the hatred that still exists between man and woman and man and man and man and child and all people. Amidst the rubble of that, and even in the rubble of what the Taliban has done in Afghanistan, earthquakes have done in Haiti, and unrest around the globe, amid all that rubble, people are still being added to God's temple. That will last. In the new heavens and the new earth, that will last. He is still building his church. He is alive. He is alive if you are a believer in Christ in you today. And he is forming you as part of his holy temple where he will dwell eternally. So you could say that Gentiles, and let's just say you and me, were not only included in the people of God. But Paul is saying they're integral. They are so assimilated that they are actually the integral part of the people of God. You and I, here today, hot, drowsy, we're the people of God. How do we respond to the fact that there is an eternal superstructure being built today and you are a part of it? Well, we purify ourselves as he is pure, as John says about Christ. We pray for God's people around the world. We pray for each other. And any animosity and unforgiveness and distinction and hatred or aggravation that we have with each other, we put it aside. We put it under the blood of Christ. And we love one another as Christ's pure bride and as the temple in which God will dwell eternally. We'll pick up in chapter 3 next week. Let's pray.